live and local on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parks III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Pro Football Hall of Famer Ricky Jackson.
I tell you what, man, I was out playing basketball, and a lot of guys came and told me Saints drafted you, and they looking for you. I had forgot all about the draft.
UFC superstar Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
It means everything to me. You know, Lafayette, Louisiana, I was born and raised. I'm a Cajun. I love it. I can't wait to walk through the airport with that belt.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
With seafood, scoreless after a half inning, bottom of the first inning, Josh Smith for the Tigers leads it off. First pitch from Josh Lewis is absolutely drilled to right field. Going back, it is gone. One pitch, leadoff batter, and it's 1-0 LSU.
Good morning. This is RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1. That's the Stadium Sports Network. You can also catch us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in HD. Want to give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline? You can do so. 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. Got a great show lined up for you today. Third hour, we'll have our good friend Andrew Juge from the Saints Happy Hour podcast. He'll join us like he always does every Tuesday. He'll break down the third week of OTAs that's going on right now for the New Orleans Saints. Ron Higgins from Tiger Details will join us also in the third hour, help us preview LSU versus Florida State baseball. Second hour, we'll catch up with our old friend Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser. Some Raging Cajun talk, recapping the baseball season, looking ahead, looking at what Raging Cajun players could be drafted today or tomorrow, and also a little Raging Cajun football talk. Plus much, much more. But we got to start off with the Major League Baseball draft. Rounds 1 through 2 occurred last night. Now, as expected, some Tigers were going to be taken. We knew this was going to happen heading into the first round. But one person that kind of jumped up the board, started rising up the board, so to speak, for LSU, a player currently on the roster, was Josh Smith. Now, of the guys currently on the roster, there's many of them that have been projected to being drafted in the beginning and right, the third round through rounds 7, 8, 10. I actually think there's 872 rounds of the Major League Baseball draft. Yes, Cody?
That is accurate.
It feels that way.
I was drafted.
Oh, nice.
Not really.
I need to look up. I could have possibly been drafted. They've been like, Raymond Parch, you were on your freshman baseball team as a reserve, and you got in one time as a pinch runner, and you unnecessarily slid face first into home so you could dirty up your jersey. You're the type of guy we want in our ball club. Clubhouse. No one ever said that. Not even my coach.
I'll say it to you, Raymond. You're the kind of guy I want in the clubhouse, Ray.
Thank you. Living out my Major League Baseball dream. So
bringing the catering.
Bringing the catering. Making sure someone has a hot towel. So they have some talented guys on this roster. Antoine Duplantis, Todd Peterson, Saul Garza, who's increased his draft stock the way he's played the last month or so. Zach Watson, Zach Hess. But the main one was Josh Smith. And we made the argument on yesterday's show that Smith might have been the best player He's may have played the best of anyone in the last month or so. Well, sure enough, the only Tiger that was taking, current LSU Tiger on the roster right now, gearing up for the Super Regionals this weekend in Baton Rouge versus Florida State, was Josh Smith. He was selected with the number 67th overall pick by the New York Yankees. The slotted signing bonus, because remember, the Major League Baseball draft, it's slotted. So the money is slotted. So these kids know what their signing bonus is going to be. It's not necessarily a negotiation thing where like, this is what it needs to be or something like that. There's some room for some negotiation, but it's a slotted system, which means you're at least guaranteed a certain amount of money. That's why you had guys last year like Zach Hess, like Zach Watson, like Antoine Deplantis, who didn't get drafted as high as they had liked, so they just made the decision to come back to Baton Rouge. Even though they were drafted by Major League Baseball teams, they're like, no, we're not interested. Josh Smith, though, was a second-round pick by the New York Yankees. His slotted signing bonus for being pick number 67 is $976,000. So Josh Smith is going to get nearly $1 million for being a second-round draft pick, and he gets to go play for the New York Yankees organization. $1 million. And he can be a Yankee. I know he may love LSU. Cody, I know you love LSU.
I kind of hate the Yankees.
But it's still the Yankees. And it's still $1 million. Signing bonus. That's not your contract. That's just your signing bonus.
And I'm not sure. Not putting down anybody whatsoever. But I'm not sure it gets much better than 67.
No.
Josh Smith. I mean, how much more does he go up the draft? I mean, I honestly don't know. This is one of those ones where if he does decide whatever he wants to do, we won't find out for, hopefully another month we won't find out exactly what Josh Smith wants to do. But if he does decide to head on to the minor leagues and go play a little professional baseball, there isn't 1 ounce of me that would blame him at all.
No, $1 million. You had a good career at LSU. You get $1 million signing bonus. You get to go play for the Yankees. That's hard to pass up, man.
I found something.
And he went higher than he was projected, right? Major League Baseball Pipeline had him at number 76. So he actually went a little bit higher than people thought that he was going to. And that's a lot of money to pass up, man.
Everyone knows that the vice president of domestic amateur scouting for the Yankees, Damon Oppenheimer. Everyone, of course.
We just call him Dame.
Yeah, household name there. Yes. But this is what Oppenheimer, he said about Josh Smith in the selection for the Yankees. This comes from Pinstripe Prospects on Twitter. He says, with Smith, you've got a left-handed hitter who is playing shortstop there at LSU. We see him as a middle infielder, whether it's short, whether it's second, whatever it takes. So right there, they're moving him to second base.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
He's a left-handed hitter with pop, and he can really hit. We like the fact that he has the tools to stay in the middle of the field and be a good offensive contributor. Sounds to me like they want to groom him to be the next Dan Uggla.
A little bit. That does sound like that.
A second baseman with a little pop, a DJ LeMahieu type. Second baseman that can put the ball over the fence a little.
And he's quick. And he's quick.
So, but he's definitely pop. Not projecting as a shortstop.
No.
In the majors, at least from this one report.
But a lot of guys in the bigs are converted shortstops. Your third baseman and your second baseman.
Yeah. Almost everybody, right?
Right. Because when you're coming up in high school and travel ball, the most important infield position is shortstop.
Right. It's something same with that.
That's where you put your best athlete.
Right.
O'Neal Lockridge played shortstop at STM, got moved to third when he got to LSU, and third for UL. Right?
I'm sure Hal Hughes and Brant Broussard could sing the same story.
Right. Smith, though, wasn't the only Tiger that was selected last night. So they have a couple of signees that were taken as well. And, yeah. So LSU signee Daniel Esposito, He went number 24 overall in the first round to the Cleveland Indians. He's a right-handed pitcher. The buzz about him, he's been clocked at 100 miles per hour. It might be the hardest throwing high school arm in the entire 2019 class. So it's a long shot that he makes it to campus. I'll say, go ahead and say that Daniel will not be coming to Baton Rouge, taking number 24 overall in the draft by the Indians. His slotted signing bonus for being number 24 overall, wait for it, Cody, $2,381,000.
Get your money, kid. Get your money.
I would be okay going to Cleveland.
Get your money. Cleveland is the epicenter of the sports world right now. Go get your money.
So he went 24 overall. That was the Tigers' top signee for the for this recruiting class.
So that catcher from Oregon State must be a gatrillionaire.
Oh, the number one overall pick.
The guy that went first overall to the Orioles. He must be just, it doesn't matter. He could suck at baseball. It doesn't matter. He's good now.
The cat from Cal went to the White Sox, the Golden Spikes Award winner that came and played at LSU.
Yeah, big guy. Big guy, first base. Yeah.
Yeah. He went, I think, to the White Sox at number three. So he's good to go. So but Daniel Esposito was not the only LSU signee, top rated signee. Their second top rated signee was Reese Hines, infielder. He's got monster power. He's been showing up in the back end of the first round in a lot of mock drafts. He's also considered a long shot to make it to campus. Well, he went in the second round, number 49 overall, to the Cincinnati Reds. His slotted signing bonus for being the number 49 overall pick is $1,500,000. So everyone say bye to Reese. Say thank you for committing to LSU, Reese. Appreciate you. Thank you, Daniel, for committing to LSU. Bye-bye.
Cincinnati and the Reds is not Cleveland and the Indians.
1.5 mil.
Yeah, Alex Bregman turned down six figures.
I know.
I know this is seven. I get, but I don't know. It's possible. No shot. Reese, we will pack his bags, but we won't push him out of the door.
But I got good news for you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'll take some good news.
Are you ready for the good news?
Yeah.
I saved it for last.
Appreciate that.
Maurice Hampton, that's a name that you should know, football and baseball player, the kid out of Memphis.
Yeah,
right?
No relation to Mike Hampton.
There was talk if he got selected in the first round that he would go, that he'd go play baseball.
Yeah.
But Maurice did not get taken in the first or the second round last night, and he announced via the social media that he would be, in fact, coming to Baton Rouge to play both football and baseball.
No, well, good.
He's the number three overall signee in this class, Cody. Here's an interesting thing. He wasn't selected in the first or the second round. Major League Baseball Pipeline had him as the number 29 overall prospect. And the reason why these kind of things happen is he's a prospect in two sports, and his camp has already publicly stated that it would take first-round money for Hampton to even consider giving up football to sign professionally. So baseball teams were like, well, if you don't want to give up football, we're not going to draft you, right? That's how that works. So Maurice Hampton, he's bound for Baton Rouge. He's going to be playing the football and the baseball. So, yeah, Josh Smith, first-round pick, you're going to lose him. Your two top signees, one went in the first round, one went early in the second round, a pitcher and an infielder, you lose those guys. But you get the two-sport star, Maurice Hampton, has decided he is bound for Baton Rouge. LSU signee Jimmy Lewis, he was the number fourth signee of this class, is off the boards. LSU's going to have to fight to keep him. The Dodgers selected him with the 78th overall pick. He has a mid-90s fastball. And scouts think he'll add velocity. 6'6", Jimmy Lewis, right-handed pitcher. So we'll see if LSU can keep Jimmy Lewis in the mix. That's someone that they may be able to have him convinced to unpack his bags, Cody. But that's going to be right there on the It's going to be on the fringe there. It's going to be tough to do because that is still second-round money. So three of LSU's top four signees were drafted last night in the first two rounds of the draft. Two are probably gone. One, LSU may be able to retain. And then Josh Smith, the star shortstop for the Tigers. The speedy guy with the big bat got taken in the first, in the second round, going to the New York Yankees. We'll talk more Major League Baseball draft when we come back here on RP3 and Company, right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1. That's the Stadium Sports Network. You can also catch us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in HD. That's right. If you want to look at this beautiful mug in high definition, that's where you need to go. And you've been warned. It may be a risk. Just saying. Start off today's tremendous Tuesday edition of RP3 and Company, talking Major League Baseball draft. LSU had one current player on its roster drafted. That was Josh Smith, the star shortstop. He got taken number 67th overall by the New York Yankees. He's going to have himself a signing bonus, a slotted signing bonus of well over $1 million. Get to play for the most historic franchise in baseball history, and you get paid, guaranteed, $1 million-plus signing bonus. I do believe it's time to say bye to Baton Rouge. I mean, wait till after the Super Regional or College World Series. You know, just be that respectful. Don't pack your bags just yet. But Smith is gone. He was the only current player selected in the first or second round of the Major League Baseball draft. The draft will pick back up again today. But LSU did have three of its top four signees for this 2019-20 class. They were drafted as well. Tops on the list, the right-handed pitcher Daniel Esposito. He's got a hard-throwing fastball that tops 100 miles per hour. He may be the hardest-throwing high school arm in the entire 2019 class, regardless of what school. He was selected number 24 overall. Infielder Reese Hines was selected.
It's a great baseball name.
That is a great baseball name. Selected number 49 overall. He is likely gone as well. Now, Jimmy Lewis, we said right before the break, he's the number fourth signee for this LSU baseball class. He's a right-handed pitcher. He's got a mid-90s fastball. He's 6'6". He can add a little muscle to his frame. He was selected in the second round with a 78th overall pick. Now, that's still a slotted bonus of around $1 million. But LSU may have a chance to keep Jimmy because some scouts still believe he needs some grooming and some development. Coming to Baton Rouge for a year may benefit him. So that'll be someone that they'll target. They're not, in my opinion, not going to get Daniel Esposito to come back to Baton Rouge. I don't think they're going to get Reese Hines either, even though Cody made a good point that Alex Bregman turned down six figures to come to LSU. I think they have a legit shot at Jimmy Lewis. And then everyone else, I think they have a legit shot of keeping. Kay Doty, the infielder from Denham Springs. He's an in-state guy. I think it's a lot easier to keep the in-state guys that are drafted because it means more to play for LSU. Christian Cario. He's the son of former big leaguer Miguel Cario. I think he'll come back. I think he'll come to campus. And then another one is Connor Phillips, right-handed pitcher. As for the other Tigers, I'd expect to see some of those guys selected today. Cody, can you do me a favor? Can you look up and see what rounds are going to be today for the Major League Baseball draft?
3 through 10.
Three through 10.
Yes, sir.
Woo, rapid fire time.
Starts at noon.
Nice, thank you.
Somebody didn't listen to the two-minute drill.
Yeah, someone might have been shoving food in his face during the two-minute drill.
Fair enough.
I own it. I'm not going to sit here and lie.
Right.
So noon, perfect. So rounds 3 through 10. This is where I see us. I expect to see Zach Hess come off the board. Zach Watson. Saul Garza possibly today.
Daniel Cabrera, is he eligible? No, this is only his second year. He's not eligible yet.
Right. Not yet. And Todd Peterson, I'd expect to see him gone. And I'll be interested to see where Antoine Duplantis goes as well, because he's a young man that was drafted.
Also, keep an eye out for which LSU Tigers drafted by the Chicago Cubs. They have drafted an LSU Tiger, it seems, in every draft. And granted, I know it's not saying much. I guess there are 112 rounds to the Major League Baseball draft. But they always seem to, somewhere high-ish up in the draft, get an LSU player, whether it's a DJ LeMahieu, whether it's an Alex Lang, somebody like that. They always seem to try to get one of those Tiger players there. I think the Cubs even maybe drafted Micah Gibbs originally, but he didn't, you know, pan out. But we'll see. And by the way, Alex Lang not doing too good. Not doing too good at all.
Your Cubs could use some bullpen help.
Not from Alex Lang. No, thank you.
What about Zach Hess or Todd Peterson?
Oh, of course. I'd be all. I'd be down. I mean, come in a setup guy. I think both of those guys would be that eighth inning guy if they, you know, of course they have to grow into that role. But
right. You know, it'll take them a couple
years. Enough
about
my team.
Enough about my team. Also, Maurice Hampton. That's the big story out of day one, is that the two-sport star, who Major League Baseball Pipeline said was the 29th best prospect overall, doesn't get drafted because he let folks know he wants to play football. The Commercial Appeal reported last night that four teams wanted Maurice Hampton late in the first round. He was offered as much as $1.8 million in a signing bonus. He turned them down. Maurice Hampton's going to be coming to Baton Rouge to play football and baseball, ladies and gentlemen. That's a huge get for the Tigers. It's a happy day if you're an LSU fan, because Maurice Hampton's coming to Baton Rouge. When we come back, we'll keep the baseball talk going right here on RP3 and Company on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company, right here on 103.7 The Game. Good morning to you. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1. That's the Stadium Sports Network, 24 hours of sports coverage. You can also check us out on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. You want to give us a call? Give us your thoughts on LSU players, signees, and current players being drafted last night in the first two rounds of the Major League Baseball draft. Feel free. Pick up the phone. Call the Arco Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. Right now, I want to pause the baseball talk just for a brief moment. It was to talk about some former Hoodats and some former LSU Tigers getting some love. College Football Hall of Fame. The ballot for the 2020 class for the College Football Hall of Fame has two former LSU Tigers on it and two former New Orleans Saints players on it, among more than the 200 former players and coaches that make up the ballot for next year's induction class. Some heavy hitters, good shoots. Former LSU running back Kevin Falk, friend of the station, is on the ballot, as is former Tigers defensive tackle Glenn Dorsey. Also nominated is former Saints kicker Morden Anderson and ex-Saints offensive lineman, Super Bowl champion Jari Evans. Dorsey was a two-time All-American and the most decorated player in LSU football history. He helped to lead the Tigers to the 2007 BCS National Championship over Ohio State after winning the Lombardi, Nagurski, and Outland trophies. I've said it before. the time I've spent in this state working in sports departments and having the opportunity to cover LSU as a full-time beat reporter or just randomly going to games, helping in, fill in. The two best players I've seen in person inside Tiger Stadium. Now, I never got to see Kevin Faulk live in person when he did his thing back in the day. But the two best players I've seen in an LSU uniform, Glenn Dorsey, Patrick Peterson. Those two. It's not even close. No offense to Devin White. Saw Devin White. Tremendous player. Glenn Dorsey was like something you hadn't seen before. The most dominant lineman I think I've ever seen in college. Offense or defense. The cat impacted a game. They tried to double team him, sometimes triple team him for a D tackle. Think about that. Now, I know Dorsey's career at the next level never really panned out. He was an average player. He never was the impactful player that he was in college. But that doesn't matter because we're talking, this is for the College Football Hall of Fame. So Glenn Dorsey's on the ballot. Joining him is, of course, Faulk, who finished his career ranked fourth in the NCAA history in all-purpose yards. He had nearly 7,000 all-purpose yards. He was an All-American in 96 and a three-time first-team All-SEC selection. Faulk was the first LSU back to average 100 yards rushing per game for his career. Of course, old Goldenfoot Morton Anderson was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2017. Was an All-American at Michigan State in 1981. He still holds the Big Ten record. He hasn't played in college since 1981, and he still holds the conference record with a 63-yard field goal. Jahari Evans, as we know, was a first-team All-American at Bloomsburg in Pennsylvania, small school, small college guy, who ended up becoming a Pro Bowler, All-Pro lineman for the New Orleans Saints. Other former Saints that are already on the ballot include Craig Ironhead Hayward, John Hill, Terry Schmidt, Larry Burden, C.J. Spiller. I don't know if we really consider him a Saint. He had a cup of coffee with the Saints.
He's really good in college, though.
He was sensational in college for Clemson. And Ashley Ambrose, the New Orleans native. Former Louisiana Tech coach Maxie Lambright is once again a nominee. He led Tech to three straight Division II titles from 72 to 74. Some other names of note on the ballot. Former Eastern Illinois and Dallas Cowboys star Tony Romo. Former Alcorn State quarterback and co-league MVP Steve McNair. The late Steve McNair. Georgia D lineman David Pollack. Everyone knows Pollack as the ESPN College Game Day guy. That cat was a stud linebacker, pass rusher at Georgia. He had a neck injury his first season in the NFL, and that derailed his career, and he can never play again. But that cat was a monster in college. People forget that. Inductees will be announced the week of the 2020 College Football National Championship game, held where else? In New Orleans. Come on, College Football Hall of Fame voters. Got to get at least one of those Tigers. Got to get one of those Tigers, get a Saint too, make it right.
I think, and what's crazy to say is that I think between the two former LSU Tigers on that list, I think Glenn Dorsey is the more sure thing between him and Kevin Faulk, and that sounds crazy to say. It feels crazy to say.
Because
he's got all the accolades.
Every award known to man in those 2 years.
I mean, if you're going to
you could make the argument. You could make the argument. I don't know if I would agree with it. I think he was a better player the season before they won the national championship. The year they won the national championship, he cleaned up all the awards, right?
Because he came back.
I think he was a slightly better player as a junior. I think you can make that argument. But he comes back and everyone's double-teaming him, and he's still destroying guys left and right.
Right.
It's just go back and watch the national championship game between LSU and Ohio State. Those Ohio State, those old Midwest white boys have no idea what the hell they need to do against Glenn Dorsey and Tyson Jackson. Like, they had, they're like, you can just, they're looking around like, what? What do you want us to do? Can we throw something at them before they come to the light? Like, they had no chance, dude. None. No chance whatsoever.
And I mean, so that to me is why, because if you're going to look at, and I don't know how the College Football Hall of Fame works, but if you're going to take like a plaque and you're going to put, you know, the Hall of Famer's face on that plaque, and then underneath it, you're going to list all the things that they did in college football. I feel like, you know, if you looked at Glenn Dorsey's plaque, it is going to have so many things underneath that, you know, that he seems like the sure thing. But if you're asking my opinion, they both need to go in. Both former LSU guys need to go in. Morton Anderson, just on that one fact alone, that still to this day, no one in the Big Ten has kicked a longer field goal than him. That probably right there should get him in. You throw in the New Orleans thing and you kind of feel like that's a slam dunk.
You know what? We're going to make a new Twitter poll question.
Look,
I like
out.
I like how this discussion went with me and the shoots. We're throwing it up on the 103.7 The Game Twitter account. You know it. You love it. Well, sometimes you love it. Sometimes you're like,
got a lot more Simpsons gifts than you'd think. You went Family Guy today, though, I see.
Yes, I did. You did. Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Everybody stop saying, oh, no, in this courtroom so the Kool-Aid guy stop showing up.
Twitter poll question will be, who do you feel deserves to be in the College Football Hall of Fame more? Oh, yeah, I'm going to make you choose between your favorite Tigers and your favorite Saints, listeners. Your choices, Glenn Dorsey, Kevin Faulk, Morton Anderson. Those are your three choices. Go to the 103.7 The Game Twitter account. Vote. I will retweet it out as well, and we'll keep that updated throughout the day. Cody, I do believe we had a Twitter poll question yesterday.
Yeah, you got to let me get this one posted first. But you're not wrong. I don't want to. Look, I'm not trying to spell any of these cats' names wrong. They're all, like, way bigger than me. If they decide, even Morton Anderson, I'm not being funny. Even if they decide.
My man is intimidated by the great
See,
name.
Did you know Glenn has two N's? It's G-L-E-N-N. Yeah, but would you have put it on the Twitter poll? Probably not. I had to Google it.
I probably just would have went last name, Dorsey, Falk.
Oh, that's lazy. Lazy, lazy. I don't know. I can't think of
another. Have you seen my Twitter account? not exactly the most proactive social media.
All right. Let's see if I can find this poll question we asked yesterday. Let's, as I scroll. Yeah, I know that's the sink or swim question of the day. Shout out to B2BS. Here it is. Even with beer and wine being sold at LSU athletic events, that's coming very soon, will you still be sneaking liquor into Tiger games? Because you're not going to be able to get your old brown there or your clear or whatever your choice is. You're not going to be able to get that. 61%, Raymond, say yes, the liquor is still going to be snuck in.
Bravo. Way to keep it honest is
what
I wanted
that's
to
fair.
See. That's what I wanted to see.
You know, since we're all in the vein of honesty here, here's been my – I don't really sneak liquor into games anymore just because it's I don't know. I've kind of
growing up?
Well, it's not even that. It's that I feel like I'm in that portion of my time. Like, maybe again when I'm like, you know, a 50-something-year-old man, maybe then it goes back to, you know, I need to get it in. But in my experiences, the best way to get liquor into an event or something that does not want you to is to use a Ziploc bag, but a Ziploc bag with one of those, like, slider – closers on the
okay.
top, not the ones that you know, the little white piece on top, you slide across and it closes. Just put you like a shot or two in a Ziploc bag. Make sure it slides closed. You roll it up. That fits in anything. It's a Ziploc bag, right? You can fold that up. It goes in your shoe, your boot, your pants, under your hat. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Fits anywhere. Then when you're in the stadium and you've gotten your Sprite or your Coke or whatever you've gotten, and you know, you dump half of it out, then all you have to do is take the Ziploc bag out of wherever you're keeping it, tear a corner off of the Ziploc bag, and then you can very discreetly pour from the corner of the bag into said cup or mouth or whatever your preference is. And it's very simple. It's not as bulky as a flask, and you can, if you want to do multiple shots but you don't want to pour the whole bag, then you just do multiple bags. If you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get a cup before the game and the cup at halftime or something, then you just make sure you do two separate bags. And it just, that to me was the way to go in. I hear asking for a friend.
asking for a friend. You just detailed completely. You just gave the dummy's guide on how to do that over the air.
I don't know what you're talking about. I blacked out. I got to stop using that excuse. It's going to stop working. I say stupid things and I blacked out.
So, yes, by all means, go to our 1037 The Game Twitter account.
It's
vote on
there,
who do you feel.
And all the names are spelled correctly.
All the names are spelled correctly. Who do you feel deserves to be inducted more into the College Football Hall of Fame for the 2020 class? Is it Glenn Dorsey, Kevin Falk, or Morton Anderson? We'll update the poll as the show goes along. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, Women's College World Series began last night in Oklahoma City between the two best teams in the nation, the UCLA Bruins, the Oklahoma Sooners. But it was not a close contest. A nearly historic whooping occurred. We'll talk about it when we come back here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1. That's the Stadium Sports Network. You can also catch us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. You can give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. We led off today's show talking about LSU baseball and the Major League Baseball draft. First two rounds are in the books. LSU had one current player, Josh Smith, selected in the second round by the New York Yankees, and they had three of their top four signees for the 2019-20 class were also drafted in the first two rounds. We also talked a little bit about the College Football Hall of Fame ballot. Glenn Dorsey has been added to the ballot. Kevin Falk has been added to the ballot. Morton Anderson is on the ballot. We want to hear from you at the 103.7 The Game Twitter account as we have our latest poll question up there. Who do you think deserves to get in to the College Football Hall of Fame, deserves to be inducted more? You can only pick one. We're going Sophie's Choice here on you, so you have to pick diehard LSU Saints fans.
Not cool. Oh, harshed my mellow at 6:53 in the morning. Lord, Sophie's Choice reference. Could have had both. She could have had both.
You're welcome. Before we continue, and this almost slipped my mind, but also congratulations to Tulane star Cody Hosey. He was selected by the Los Angeles Dodgers in the first round with the 25th overall pick. He gets to live his big league dreams. Had a monster season for the Green Wave, so congratulations to him being drafted in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft. So he'll go 25th overall pick. He's going to have a similar kind of seven-figure signing bonus as Daniel Esposito, the LSU signee, has, who was taken at 24th overall. So they're going to be comparable there, off by a few thousand dollars, I would assume. So Tulane Green Wave player. Breakthrough season, the third baseman was taken by the Dodgers in the first round. He becomes the Green Wave's first opening round selection since pitcher. What a great name. Are you ready for this name, Cody?
Okay.
First, it's the Green Wave's first round selection in the Major League Baseball draft since pitcher Shooter Hunt.
Shooter.
Shooter Hunt.
Shooter Hunt. Shooter Hunt.
Shooter Hunt.
Shooter Hunt.
In 2008.
Shooter Hunt. That's contrived, if not anything else.
Need to have a conversation with someone's parents.
Shooter Hunt.
No. No.
I mean, safe to say, if he would have made it to the big show, then, well, we'd know his name. I didn't even mean to do that.
It just came out naturally. It just spewed out of me.
I'm sorry.
We're in the first hour strong today, my friend.
Yikes.
So congratulations to the Tulane third baseman. But I want to talk a little Women's College World Series. Game one began yesterday. The two best teams in the country all season long, UCLA versus Oklahoma, right? And even though LSU and UL had aspirations of reaching the Women's College World Series, they did not. They fell short, both of them, along the way in the regionals and the super regionals. But here's the two best teams going at it. You're expecting this is going to be a tough game. This is going to be back and forth. This is going to be a close game.
What happened was UCLA
hit four home runs in game one to beat Oklahoma 16-3. This is the College World Series championship series. The Bruins matched the Women's College World Series single game record for most runs scored and earned the largest margin of victory ever for a championship series game since the three-game format started in 2005. Game two will be played Tuesday, and someone needs to check on Oklahoma. I mean, the last time Oklahoma got abused like that was like against Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, and USC in the national championship game.
Last time Oklahoma got abused like that was the Great Potato Famine.
My man. By the way, Oklahoma entered last night's College World Series championship round game with a 1.11 ERA, the best in the country. Their season high for runs allowed was 7. They lost 16-3. Game two of the College World Series will be tonight. That's going to do it for hour number one in the books. Hour two coming up right here on 103.7.
Live and local on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parks III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Pro Football Hall of Famer Ricky Jackson.
I tell you what, man, I was out playing basketball, and a lot of guys came and told me Saints drafted you, and they looking for you. I had forgot all about the draft.
UFC superstar Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
It means everything to me. You know, Lafayette, Louisiana, I was born and raised. I'm a Cajun. I love it. I can't wait to walk to the airport with that belt.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Good morning. Welcome to the second hour of RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1. That's the Stadium Sports Network. You can also catch us on LUS Fiber on 133 and 1133 in HD. If you'd like to give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, you can, 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. Coming up this hour, we'll be catching up with our old friend Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser, giving us a recap on the season and what's going to be happening moving forward for the Raging Cajun baseball team, as well as what players possibly could be drafted, which teams could take flyers on guys, and a little football talk as well with our friend Tim. That'll be coming up at 7:32. Right now, though, I want to talk Major League Baseball draft in the LSU Tigers. Once again, in case you didn't catch us at the top of the first hour, LSU had three signees and one current player drafted in the first two rounds of the Major League Baseball draft, which occurred yesterday. As Cody Schutz, producer extraordinaire, explained to us, rounds 3 through 10 will get started today, starting at noon.
Patronizing, you know what.
I was like, I'll give him a question. It'll take a minute. And you're like, man, you didn't listen to the 2 minute drill.
Return volley.
Yes. So we talked about who was drafted. The current player was Josh Smith. He was selected in the second round by the New York Yankees. The shortstop will be converted into a second baseman more than likely at the next level. That's what a lot of scouts say.
No, that's what the great Omar, I can't remember his last name, but you know him. You know him, that VP of domestic scouting for the Yankees. That's what he said.
I like what you said, domestic scouting. That's
the VP of domestic scouting.
That doesn't sound like a made-up title at all. I believe you. I believe you.
I didn't make it up, I swear.
Once again, Smith, who really had a sensational year in a lot of ways, he might have been LSU's most consistent ball player, everyday player. He was taken number 67th overall by the New York Yankees. He's second-round pick. Slotted signing bonus for number 67. Once again, Major League Baseball draft, they do the signing bonus is slotted. Makes it far more guaranteed, which makes it easier for the ball clubs to know which guys are actually going to sign with them, and they can they go from there. This is not their contract. This is just the signing bonus. Smith's signing bonus will be $976,700. So a little bit more than what I make. And Cody makes, and pretty much everyone here at 103.7 The Game makes combined times 17. So Josh Smith was the only current player that was off the board last night for the first and second rounds. Still to be taken today. More than likely you'll see Zach Hess. I know LSU fans have a love-hate relationship with Zach. I always like Zach because he's accountable. He meets with us in the media. He does not shy away from us, whether it's a win or a loss. And he owns his mistakes every time. The other day when he gave up the grand slam, even though he did not load up the bases, he came in to try to bail out Todd Peterson. He gave up the grand slam against Southern Miss on Saturday. He stood up there. He owned it. He even made a joke about how, you know, his first thought was hopefully his team can bail him out so his house doesn't get burned down. He knows what it is to be a star at LSU. I think he has the best stuff of anyone on staff. Just natural pitching ability. If someone at the next level can hone it, develop him, and really become laser focused as a mid reliever or a closer, he could get to the big leagues. His stuff is that good. Major League Baseball Pipeline has him as the number 95 overall prospect. I'd see him going today, probably in rounds 3 through 5 or 6. Don't be surprised. Zach Watson, star outfielder, he'll likely go today. And then Sal Garza and Todd Peterson may be able to go today. If not today, they'll go tomorrow. So those are some names to kind of keep an eye on. But really, early on, when the draft starts around noon, I see Zach Hess, the two Zachs, Hess and Watson. And maybe Sal Garza, because he's intriguing. He's finally healthy. And he could do some damage for a big league ball club. And anytime you can find a catcher that has a powerful bat, go ahead and put him on the board. That's, yeah.
You know what that sound means, Raymond. We have breaking news, a rare moment of breaking news.
Give it to me.
Breaking news in the Twitter sphere. We very rarely get these moments here because we're on so early in the morning. But I have from the official verified NCAA baseball account at NCAA CWS. 8 minutes ago, they tweeted out that at Florida State Baseball will be at LSU Baseball starting Saturday, June 8th. The Super Regional is Saturday through Monday at Alec Box Stadium, again released 9 minutes ago from the NCAA Baseball Twitter account. Games will be Saturday.
Now, that wasn't supposed to be released until 11 a.m.
I got it right here for you in front of me. NCAA Baseball verified with the checkmark Twitter account, also verified by WAFB and the LSU Baseball Twitter account as well. So we've got it official now. June 8th, Saturday, will be the first game between the Seminoles and Tigers. That'll be at 2 p.m. local time. Then the Sunday game will be at 5 p.m. local time. Thank you so much for a 5 p.m. Sunday game. Oh, thank you so much.
2 p.m. on Saturday, really? Yes. You're not putting LSU and Florida State in primetime?
It's on the regular old ESPN, though, television-wise. So it is getting the main platform, just not at prime time. Again, 5 p.m. on the Deuce, on that Sunday, June 9th. And then Monday, if necessary, there will be a 7:30 game back on the regular old mothership. So there you go. Breaking news during RP3 and Company. Florida State and LSU baseball will play Saturday through Monday.
Saturday through Monday.
Which makes sense to me. I think that's the way to do it because we've got bad weather coming through starting tomorrow. Yep. Thursday is going to probably be a wash as well. So if they need that Friday to kind of get things back in ship shape, ready to run and start the series on Saturday, this is kind of what I expected.
Also, if you're them and you're ESPN, all three games will be broadcast on ESPN?
That or the Deuce.
Or the Deuce. If you're them, too, right?
That is retweeted on the 103.7 The Game Twitter account if you would like to check out the official tweet.
If it does go three games, you get primetime Monday coverage when no one else is going to have anything.
Yes, that's a big time.
That's a huge deal. Florida State, LSU, the nation will be watching for college baseball. So 2 p.m. on Saturday, LSU will be taking on Florida State. 5 p.m. game two on Sunday. If game three is necessary,
7:30.
Will be 7:30 on Monday. We'll cross that terrible bridge when we have to, Cody Schutz.
If it comes to that, 7:30 is still better than 8, I guess. But
I may be able to go to game two now.
You're telling 5 o'clock on Sunday, maybe. Depends on how much of a trooper you want to be.
I'll be coming back from Natchitoches. Lunch will be wrapped up by noon. So I'll be on the road. It's only 2 hours and about 15 minutes from Natchitoches. I'll be going up for the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame weekend. We'll be broadcasting live, by the way, RP3 and Company, from downtown Natchitoches, Front Street, on Friday morning. With some Hall of Fame interviews, working on that as we speak.
Awesome.
So, yeah, that game two, yeah.
I've already gotten.
I guess I'll be turning in the old credentials.
I've already gotten a text message from my mother. Father is working on tickets.
Your dad is a boss when it comes to LSU tickets.
He don't play.
So I'm making a note to myself here. Hold on. Hold on.
Go ahead.
When Raymond needs to get tickets for LSU, what does your dad drink and what can I send him to make sure that happens to hook up with the tickets in the future?
Oh, man, I'm going to embarrass my dad. Alcohol?
No, that's why I
saying. No, just
Crown?
Alcohol. Crown works, just anything. Just buy it. He'll drink it.
Papa Schutz, you'll be taken care of in the fall, my friends. RP3 ought to be taking care of you, so you'll have something to tailgate with.
It's always fun when we get breaking news on RP3 and Company.
That never happens.
That was supposed to come out at 11, you said. I didn't see the whole that was supposed to come out at 11. I'm just doing my job over here and happened to see this come through the wire. That's not bad.
Outstanding, Cody Schutz. Outstanding.
I think, again, this is me and my, this, it's crazy how these things come up, but me and my grandma were talking at the T-ball game last night. We were talking about LSU and stuff because my grandma, she loves some LSU baseball. And she was telling me how, because we also have another T-ball game on Thursday this week. And she was telling me how, oh, well, you need to keep an eye on that because, you know, the rain's supposed to come through and you don't know if you're going to play on Thursday. And I was like, oh, really? My mom's supposed to rain this week? I had no idea. And then, it, you know, through conversation, hit me, well, if it's supposed to rain, you know, on Thursday or something like that of this week, then, man, I'd really find it hard-pressed for LSU baseball to want to play on Friday. I bet you they end up playing on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, if necessary, as opposed to Friday, Saturday. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're probably right, you know. And then, lo and behold, less than 12 hours later, here we are. And the weather is probably the biggest. I also, you know, what Raymond said there about having the if necessary game being in prime time, you know, bright lights, the only thing on against basically nothing else, is a very good prospect to have. But between me and
but
you,
that's a big if,
between
though, right?
Me and you,
because
yeah,
it may not go three games.
Between me and you, I'd rather this be wrapped up on Sunday and we can come here on Monday and celebrate a trip to Omaha.
I like your style.
That's the plan, at least.
Yeah, I'll be wow, that I thought there had been...
That shook you. You weren't ready for this announcement. Yeah, there you go.
I thought they would have gone primetime Friday night. I really thought that. Now, the selfish part of me, because already having
Let's see
other...
if I can find what is primetime
Friday. Already having my own obligations, you know, I was like, oh, they'd be great if they played Saturday, Sunday, and then maybe Monday, because at least I could catch one game of the Supers. But I thought for sure they would want to have LSU in primetime. Interesting. Well, also, I'll throw up a story up on the website as well on the 103.7thegame.com. about all the times.
Whoa.
Between the two. Whoa, what you got?
June 7th is, there's something else happening on Friday, June 7th. Because nothing is in prime time on the mothership ESPN network. Everything is either on the Deuce or the U. So something else we are overlooking.
NBA Finals?
Maybe that's what I don't know, something, but there's nothing on in prime time on the mothership channel on Friday, June 7th. And LSU, it's the same story. Same story for Saturday. Nothing on at prime time on the regular channel on Saturday, but there is Auburn and North Carolina will play at noon on the regular mothership, while followed by Florida State and LSU at 3. But other than that, those are all Eastern time. Sorry, so I mean 11 and 2. But so yeah, nothing again on primetime on Saturday. So that's a bit interesting, if you ask me.
That is a bit interesting. So breaking news, talking LSU baseball, just news just happens. Love it, love it. We got to hit a break here on the RP3 and the company. When we come back, Houston Astros, Seattle Mariners, game one of a four-game road series for the Take It Backers. We'll recap it when we come back here on 103.7 The Game.
First pitch, and that is drilled deep left field, and you can kiss it goodbye. Into the Astros bullpen after hitting off the out-of-town scoreboard. A bomb from Robinson Chirinos. 3-0 Astros. Chirinos is 8th of the year.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, also simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1, as well as on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in HD. Time for a little Houston Astros baseball talk, because we are your home for Houston Astros. Reminder, game two of their series with the Seattle Mariners. You can hear live right here on 103.7 The Game tonight. That's right. 8:30, Astro launch. 9:10, first pitch. So if you're up late, burning the midnight oil, as they like to say, want to listen to some baseball, we got you covered right here on 103.7 The Game. But last night was game one of the Astros series with the Mariners, four-game set. They're in the Pacific Northwest. Remember in early April when the Seattle Mariners were the best team in the American League West? You don't? Well, they're not that anymore. They're 25-38 overall after losing last night to the Astros 4-2. Astros improved to 41-20 overall. And they just keep it going. It's just so good, so good. Have we talked about just how good of a ball player Alex Bregman is, Cody Schuetz? Have we discussed that at all?
That has indeed come up, yes.
That has indeed come up from time to time.
The caliber on which he is playing over the last two seasons is top tier in Major League Baseball. Whether it's going to be MVP worthy or not, that is still to be determined. But it cannot be argued that Alex Bregman is indeed a top tier player now in Major League Baseball.
Phenomenal. I saw him in college. I'm going to be completely transparent.
Where'd he go again?
He went to some school, some state university
right,
somewhere.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Hold that tiger. I knew he was going to be good. I had no idea that he was going to be MVP good. Did you? I mean, to be honest, you saw him.
I didn't
knew
expect
he was
him
be
to
good.
Even get to the majors this quick.
He got to the majors quick, yeah. And then it's like, oh, I'm an all-star. Oh, by the way, I'm in the conversation for MVP. He's only in his third year?
I would have lost money if you would have made me bet if Alex Bregman would be at this level this quickly. I would have lost money on that bet. And shame on me for being a doubter. Oh, ye of little faith I am. But no more. I have been shown the light. And in Alex Bregman, we trust.
He's just been so good so early. It's kind of amazing.
You want to play that game again where we see how close you can get to how many games in first place the Astros are?
So how many games ahead of... Can you tell me who's second in the American League West is?
I can tell you it's not the Athletics, Angels, or Mariners. It's the Rangers.
Really? Okay.
It is the Rangers. By a couple of games. They're not... The Rangers are in second place by two games.
Okay, so they're firmly in second place. They got a two-game cushion between them, the Angels, Mariners, and A's.
Correct.
And you're asking me how many games are the Astros up on the Tejas Rangers?
That is correct. That is the question.
11.5?
A little too high. You're in the ballpark.
Okay.
It's 9.
Ah!
It's 9. The Athletics are 11 back. The Angels are 11.5 back. And the Mariners are 17 games back. So the Mariners are done. Safe to say that. But the Astros are 41-20 overall, 8-10 in their last 10 games. They are 9 games ahead of the Rangers for first place. As I look through, it's not quite good enough for the best record in the American League. Somehow the Twins... The Twins have still only lost 18 games. The Twins are 40-18. The Astros are 41-20. So the Twins slightly ahead still in the overall best record for the American League. But and then the Twins also have the biggest lead in the division too. They have an 11.5 game lead. So there's your 11.5 game lead. It's for the Twins, not for the Astros. And just for sake's sake, since we're talking MLB, flipping over to the National League. Let's see. You want to take a shot at who's got the best record in the National League, Raymond?
It was
pretty simple.
It was your Chicago Cubs.
Not anymore. They've struggled. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. They've been a bit of a skid.
Oh, it's the Dodgers.
It is the Dodgers. There you go. I figured you'd get it. The Dodgers have probably the best record in baseball. They're 42-19. So I think that's going to give them the win percentage-wise, the nod by like 0.01%. So the Dodgers have, I believe, the best record in baseball, 42-19.
Well, I for one, am looking forward to seeing the Dodgers make it to the playoffs, make it to the World Series, and then leave Clayton Kershaw in an inning too long and see him give up a two-run homer and see them lose again.
Poop the bed. It's unfortunate. So some very good baseball being played by the teams at the top of divisions, but then some really bad baseball being played by the teams at the bottom of the division. Your Bravos
are towards the bottom.
No. Second place in the NL East, only back by a half game. They're behind the Phillies. The Bravos 32-27. The Phillies 33-27. So that division's not very good, but the Braves could still win it. Still in it.
That reeks of a division that's going to lose the wild card round.
The Nationals are bad now, man. What happened? You lose Bryce Harper, and it's like there's no one left on the team. Oh, wait.
There's no one left on the
team.
There
is no one left on the team. The Cubbies, one game out of first place, 32-26. The Brewers, 34-26. I hate Milwaukee. But it does the heart good knowing the Cardinals are in third place. That does the heart good.
And here's the thing about the Astros is that last night they did not get a good start from Corbin Martin. Okay? And they only collected 5 hits and pitched without 2 of their 3 premier relievers after a 12-inning marathon game on Sunday. Yet, despite all that, and despite having Springer and Altuve still on the bench and Carrera on the bench with injuries, they still found a way to pull out a win against the Seattle Mariners. Championship teams, even when they're off, even when their roster is depleted and they have mental errors and they have a bad performance, they still find a way to beat bad teams, and that's what the Astros are doing. That's my takeaway from last night's opener. You can listen to Game 2 of this series at the Seattle Mariners live right here on 103.7 The Game. Astro launch will start at 8:30 tonight. First pitch, 9:10. Also, go to the 103.7 The Game website right now. We have a story up. Super regional days and times have been set between LSU and Florida State there at Alex Box Stadium. Go check it out. Coming up next here on RP3 and Company, we're going to catch up with our old friend Tim Buckley, Raging Cajun's beat writer for the Daily Advertiser, right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. It's time now for us to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and welcome on our first guest of the day. He covers the Raging Cajun athletic teams for the Daily Advertiser. It's the one and only Tim Buckley. Tim, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great, Raymond. Long time no talk.
Appreciate you making some time out, delaying your much-needed vacation, and well-deserved, brother. Let's talk about the Raging Cajun baseball team. Disappointing end to the season. That they did kind of turn a corner a little bit, winning their three final weekend series to punch their ticket to the Sun Belt Conference Tournament there in Conway. They had an early departure, so to speak, from the conference tournament, losing season. This is now going to be 3 years in a row where they don't play in an NCAA regional. Your thoughts on if this is a trend or if this is just something that the Cajun program can quickly rebound from?
3 years in a row without a regional. I was just thinking about that, Raymond. A trend, certainly one that Tony Robichaud wants to put a halt to. But the thing is, since 2012, they've had just one losing season. And I think that's more of the blip on the radar. I think this is a team that's in a program that's consistently capable of producing winning records, certainly much more often than not. And one I think that could and should on a regular basis produce either a resume, you know, that's worthy of being considered for an at-large bid to an NCAA tournament, or one that's capable of going into the conference tournament and walking away with the automatic bid. And I say that based on not only what they have coming back, but just also the consistency that Tony Robichaud has shown over what is now a 25-year career. I mean, that long in one place, it's almost unfathomable these days. Plus the facilities that they have over there, the stadium that they can use for recruiting, the history of the program, just all of it kind of combined.
We're talking with Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tim, let's talk about the guys that they're going to be losing from this year's squad heading into next year. They're going to lose their leading hitter, Hunter Castles. His 338 is gone. Oren Vaillant, he had a great story coming back to the Raging Cajuns. He was second on the team in home runs with 11. He's gone. Hanson Monica bounced back from his injury, had a great year, 15 home runs. He's gone. We expect O'Neill Lockridge maybe not to come back, that his baseball career may be done. They lose a considerable amount of guys from this year's team, not to mention what may happen with Todd Lott. How different is this team going to look next year? We know what Tony does. They're year in and year out, they're competitive, they're great. But is this a huge amount of talent to replace, or is this kind of just par for the course for Tony and what his staff have to do every few years?
A little bit of both. I mean, they gotta get things taken care of on the mound in the bullpen. Obviously, there were subpar performances. There was disappointment. There was injury. There was all of that, and they gotta get that taken care of. I think he feels like he'll address some of that with what he has coming in. But if you think, you know, about what they are losing, it's a ton. And you know, you address some of it there. You know, Castles was an everyday presence at second base. Somebody started his career at shortstop. That didn't work out, but found a home at second and was reliable, not only defensively, but, you know, also, I mean, that kid hit the ball hard. It seemed like every time he was up, sometimes hard right to somebody, but always hitting the ball hard. Vaillant, you know, only here for a year on his return to the Cajuns after he moved around a little bit, LSUE and University of New Orleans, and he comes back to the Cajuns. He found his power late. You know, Monica was kind of one of those rah-rah guys, you know, one of the quote-unquote, you know, alpha dog leaders. He was banged up. He dealt with the injuries, but he kind of overcame it all, and he ended up being the best power guy at the end of the season. I mean, a couple that you didn't mention, and to me, two huge ones. Daniel LaHare, you know, even though he dealt with some injuries this year, you know, he had the flexibility to not only be used in the outfield where he was one of their top two hitters last year, but at first base as well this year when they brought him in from the outfield because of the shoulder injury that he's playing through. And he played through, it seems like, three or four different injuries this season. And then also the huge one, and yeah, he might not have, you know, lived up, if you will, this year, but he didn't mention Gunnar Leger. And, man, if there's ever a loss, that is an absolutely huge one. And somebody that I think anybody who's ever come across in any circumstance whatsoever, whether it's saying hello to watching them pitch to sitting next to him in a classroom, whatever the case may be. You're pulling for him to maybe have somebody take him in this draft and have him get his pro shot. Now, the other one you mentioned was Todd Lott. And, you know, we'll see if and where and when he goes. But you would think with the way he came on with the bat, especially having already been drafted once, that somebody's gonna take that name this year. And it might be timing-wise a situation where he grabs it and goes, depending on, again, where and when it is. And he's somebody whose bat they'll miss. You know, he never really turned out to be a plus guy in the outfield for him, but he's got a bat with pro potential, so we'll see where that one goes.
We're talking with Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Let's talk about another guy, former STM star Brennan Breaux. Where do we stand on his eligibility? He started off at LSU for 2 years. I know was redshirted. This would be his second year with the Cajuns. Does he have another year of eligibility left him?
Oh, yeah. My understanding is that he does. And somebody who probably will be a pretty integral part of that team going forward, unless circumstances have changed that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, and he had a very, you know, he struggled last year, Tim, and then this past season, he kind of had really his first really good year as a college baseball player, period. Batted nearly 300 for the Cajuns, was reliable with the glove. Do you see him maybe even taking a next step? And were you surprised how much he flourished this year for Tony?
Well, surprised, no. You know, he actually sat out last year with the transfer rule. It was O'Neill Lockridge who played a little bit
That's right.
In 2018. Breaux had to sit out because of the transfer rule. And, you know, I think his was the presence that was totally living up to expectations. He got more comfortable as he went along. He was a regular fixture in center field. I think somebody who's quite capable of stepping into, if he hasn't already, one of those leadership roles for the Cajuns.
We're talking with Tim Buckley here from the Daily Advertiser on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tim, you mentioned pitching Gunnar Leger, him being injured and not being able to become the ace of the staff as they anticipated had a domino effect. What did you think of the performance of Jacob Schultz and Austin Perrin? Those are both guys who could come back next year. I know Tony was very high on Austin, particularly late in the season. What did you think of the performance of Schultz and Perrin, and can they be starters next year for this team?
You know, I think Perrin certainly is capable of it. They're both capable of it. There's no question about it. It's just a matter of what role does Tony want them to fill. Tony seemed to, you know, like Austin Perrin coming out in more of a relief role later in the season, although he did have him starting. At one point, he was their Friday night starter because of circumstances. I think he's somebody that he feels like he can rely on. I think with Jacob Schultz, they're looking for a little bit more consistency there, but you know, with a little more seasoning, a little more experience, I think Austin Perrin certainly is going to be a big part of that staff. And then you add in some of those new arms coming forward, and you wait and see how the draft, you know, impacts all of that. It'll be interesting because they got to fix some things there. They had all sorts of issues, and injuries were a part of the reason, and inconsistency was a part of the reason as well. But, you know, whatever the reason, they've got to address that if they are to avoid making it four in a row without an NCAA regional appearance.
We're on with Tim Buckley from the Daily Advertiser here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tim, you mentioned him, Gunnar Leger. This young man had an immense amount of talent, pro scout type of talent. Does he get drafted? Do you think a Major League Baseball team takes a flyer on him with the draft?
Oh, I don't think so. You know, considering what his draft stock was before, the kind of money that he was offered for and that he turned down, you know, knowing that he needed the two surgeries that he had, the one for the calcified cyst and the thigh and the partial Tommy John as well. I think if you're a pro scout, you're not looking at what happened this year. You're looking at what he was capable of those first 3 years and saying, hey, if we can get him back to what he was at the end of that third year when he won Sunbelt Conference Pitcher of the Year honors, even if we don't put necessarily a huge financial investment into it, but we put a little bit of a time investment, why the heck not take that flyer, especially with a kid who has the character that Gunner does. I mean, I remember meeting him when I was a freshman and just being blown away by how well he carried himself, what he knew about the game, what he knew about history of the program, UL. He's a football guy through and through. He talked about, what ends up happening, he'll probably end up coaching at some point. And you know what, if it's not a pro organization that takes a chance on him, it's somebody at certainly doing that coaching wise. But one way or another, he'll be a part of the game, I think, for years and years and years to come.
Tim, we said, you mentioned how Gunner, you feel like he's going to get drafted. You mentioned Todd Lott will likely get drafted as well sometime this week. First and second rounds were last night, and then they'll pick back up again this evening and conclude on Wednesday. Any other of the guys on the roster that you could see getting drafted, and any of those guys maybe underclassmen that could leave early?
I think that's just a wait-and-see kind of thing. I mean, at one point, Hansa Monica had been drafted, and, maybe going into this season, even coming off the injury, you would have suspected he might be, but it seems now he's headed to school. So maybe that doesn't pan out. Zion, again, a senior, not an underclassman, but, with what he showed in his graduate transfer year, I think somebody will call his name, Castle's name, I imagine, will be called as well. To me, the big thing is Todd Lott.
I'm talking with Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tim, let's switch over from the diamond to the gridiron. Some news to get to concerning Billy Napier and his football team. Let's start off with what I think the positive is. Athlon Sports has already released its preseason guide. The Raging Cajuns placed 15 players on the All-Sun Belt preseason team by Athlon. Now, Athlon, full disclosure, they have four teams, right? First, second, third, and fourth team. But 15, that was tied for second most with defending conference champ App State and just one behind Troy. What did you think when you saw the news that Athlon had recognized so many Raging Cajuns? And do you think this is something that Billy Napier and his staff, let's be honest, really care about?
No, and I thought nothing of it. I mean, they picked three teams. I mean, everybody's going to have 15 guys. Let's be real here. You know what? I mean, if you can figure out how to put on the shoulder pads and you can actually snap the helmet, good chance you're going to be on one of those teams.
So what you're saying is that you and I, if we have any eligibility left, we should try to do that. We could get on the Athlon teams. Is that what you're telling me?
Didn't say anything about you. Let's not go putting words into my mouth here, Raymond. But those things, they are what they are. I actually do the one for Street and Smith. And I can tell you how many they got on the first team, and I know that only because Street and Smith only picks the first team, and that's two. It's Kevin Dotson and Robert Hunt. Those two are going to be showing up on all these teams. Look, they're loaded with talent on offense. They got their entire starting offensive line coming back. They've got arguably one of the best trio of running backs in the country, any class whatsoever, up to and including the SEC programs. And I don't say that flippantly. I mean, I think those guys are all real deal, and they're getting regular snaps on pretty much any roster, wherever they go, and Trey Regis and Elijah Mitchell and Raymond Calais. And Calais got world-class speed. Those guys are all legit. You know, they got to make sure they get things figured out at quarterback and see whatever the case may be, if it's Levi Lewis or Jayave Magle, getting the bulk of the reps. You would think it's Lewis, but I wouldn't discount Magley at all at this point. Got to get that figured out. They got an NFL potential caliber receiver and Jamarcus Bradley. Bam Jackson kind of emerged last year, and I would expect him to take that next step. Boy, Brian Smith looked good in that scrimmage that they had. Khalif Goss, that big 6'5", 6'6", kid, looked good in that spring scrimmage as well. So they're fine on the receivers. They got to find some consistency on defense that hasn't been there. If Joe Dillon can get in better shape, I think he can provide some of that. Same case goes for Chauncey Manac. Those both can be different makers on the edge, but they need more consistency out of that defense. But, man, if you ride that offense, I think it's certainly one that's capable, especially with the way this thing is set up, it's one capable of getting the Cajuns back into that Sun Belt title game. I mean, you're talking about ULM, which lost its number, not only its top receiver, Marcus Green, who got drafted by the Atlanta Falcons, but also its number two receiver, R.J. Turner, who somewhat surprisingly ended up leaving for Texas Tech as a graduate transfer. So even though they got Caleb Evans coming back at quarterback, they lose some big weapons at receiver. They lost Derek Gore, their leading running back. And the other team in that conference who always seems to be the contender, obviously, in the division, is Arkansas State. And there you've got a situation where not only are they losing their starting quarterback, Justin Hanson, but Blake Anderson, their head coach, like I think every one of its assistants is too going this season. So they got a lot of things to figure out in Jonesboro. If the Cajuns' defense can answer the bell with the offense they have, I'd be surprised not to see them back in the Sun Belt title game.
We're wrapping up here with Tim Buckley, the Daily Advertiser on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tim, one more question before we let you go. It was announced that the Raging Cajuns season opener, which is their quote-unquote home game inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome versus Mississippi State, will be televised. It gets the big TV deal, but it has to be at 11 a.m. kickoff there in New Orleans. Your thoughts, does that help the Cajuns? Because I'm a torn myself. It's great TV exposure and a great venue versus an SEC team, but it's also at 11 o'clock in the morning. Your thoughts on the decision to have the Cajuns and Bulldogs face off in the morning?
First thing I do is think completely selfishly and know that I bleed ink, and so anytime you got a start time that early, it's a beautiful thing for deadline.
Spoken like a veteran journalist.
Sucks for waking up, beautiful thing for deadline. As far as fans go, I mean, to me, it works out, you know. You hit the quarter on Friday night, why go to sleep? Just kind of stumble into the Superdome. You're good to go. As far as how that impacts the fan experience, highly overrated. As for the Cajuns, it's a football game. You wake up, you go play it.
It doesn't matter, right, because it's the first game of the year.
No, it doesn't matter. Maybe get a little more jacked up knowing it's on one of the 17 different ESPN stations that's an actual TV station and, you know, not one of these internet hook the cord up to the TV to try to call it TV station. It's a real station. You get jacked up for that. You get jacked up because you're in the Superdome, even if it'll be more than half empty. You get jacked up because you're playing an SEC team, even though it's an SEC team that kind of bumps you last year. Maybe you got something to go out and prove because of that. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons to be ready for a game like that. Who cares if you got to wake up at 4:30 in the morning, whatever.
Tim, appreciate your honesty and your insight as always, my friend. Enjoy your summer, and we'll catch up to you probably at Sunbelt Media Day down there in New Orleans.
Sounds good, Raymond. See you there.
Tim Buckley, Daily Advertiser, joining us there on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. We got to hit a break here for RP3 and Company, but we'll be back right after this on 103.7 The Game.
For most, there's no place like home.
Can I run away from home?
But not for Ronnie Howard.
I ran away, Gomer. I ran away from home.
You're not sending me home.
You won't run away from home?
Why'd you want to come way out here?
To join the Marines.
How do you feel?
I'm a Marine. We're the best.
Ronnie's real home is MeTV.
I don't want to run away. I changed my mind.
Oh. Watch MASH, Andy Griffith, and Gomer Pyle.
Charter 10, LUS 18, Cox 23, DirecTV and Dish 50. Over the air, 50.1.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents... When generic insurance takes hold, one handsome man and one flightless bird are teaming up to save the world. Money. Their message? Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need. Their mission? Savings. Their relationship? Best friends. Say hello to Liberty Mutual's new spokes team.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company here on 103.7 The Game, broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Wrapping up the second hour, coming up third hour, We're going to lead off with our friend Ron Higgins from Tiger Details, helping us preview LSU-FSU Super Regional. But real quick, congratulations goes out to Kerry Connor on winning the Glenn Sharp Award. That's the UL football equipment man, picking up a major award in his industry. So congratulations to him for that. Also, a bit of sad news involving the Raging Cajuns. They lost a dear friend to the basketball program. The driver for the Raging Cajuns men basketball team passed away yesterday. So condolences to the Raging Cajun family for a loss, and also congratulations to one of their own picking up an award. That's going to do it for the second hour here on RP3 and Company. Coming up, LSU, FSU, Super Regional Talk, right here on 103.7 The Game.
Live and local on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parks III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Pro Football Hall of Famer Ricky Jackson.
I tell you what, man, I was out playing basketball, and a lot of guys came and told me Saints drafted you, and they looking for you. I had forgot all about the draft.
UFC superstar Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
It means everything to me. You know, Lafayette, Louisiana, I was born and raised. I'm a Cajun. I love it. I can't wait to walk to the airport with that dog.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Good morning. Third and final hour time here for RP3 and Company on 103.7 The Game. Broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Simulcast on KXKW at channel 32.1. You can also check us out on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. We led off today's show talking LSU baseball, the Major League Baseball draft. Throughout the show, we also broke the news to you that the Super Regional days and times have been set. Once again, you can check that out on the 103.7 The Game website. But they're going to start play Saturday, Sunday, and then a game three on Monday night if necessary. You can listen to all three of those games live right here on 103.7 The Game. It's time for us now to continue the LSU baseball conversation rolling, moving forward with our good friend as we head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and welcome on from TigerDetails.com. The one and only Ron Higgins. Ron, how are you doing this morning, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. I'm excited because I'll be in Natchitoches for the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame weekend, but I'll be able to come back in time to at least catch game two there at the box on Sunday. You've already seen the news. Were you surprised at all that they didn't put LSU Florida State in a primetime slot starting on Friday or even on Saturday, that there are day and late afternoon games?
A little bit, but you can never tell what ESPN is going to do. I mean, you know, obviously, I mean, I think it's a great matchup, but, you know, I guess to them, they don't think it's a, you know, a prime time one. But, you know, around here, people really don't care, man. They're just happy to have a home Super Regional. It's a pleasantly unexpected surprise a week ago. Yeah, you wouldn't have thought this, but to have it and have such a good matchup, and to have somebody, a team that's only been in the Baton Rouge once in their existence as far as baseball. They played New Orleans 2-3 times when they had that push, the Superdome stuff LSU put on that tournament. But they've never been to Baton Rouge up for once in the 60s, and man, it's gonna be a fun weekend. I'm happy for this team because they finally got some people healthy, and they've been able to get some consistency and get some rhythm, and it's really helped them.
We're talking with Ron Higgins of TigerDetails.com right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Ron, I know the narrative is going to be huge about the Florida State skipper. He's the winningest coach in college baseball history. He's a friend of Skip Bertman. I'm sure we will see photos on the telecast of him and Skip Bertman together. At least I put the over under 12.
Yeah.
I know that's going to be the narrative heading into the game, just like last week the narrative was Stony Brook, LSU, 2012. But give me something else about these two teams meeting and how important it is and how historic it is that two of the best college baseball programs of all time are meeting in the Supers.
Well, you know, Florida State has been traditionally great, but it's lost four of its last five to LSU. And you know, LSU knocked it out of the College World Series a couple of years ago. But this is Mike Martin is, you know, one of the best coaches in college football history. I mean, in college baseball history, more wins than anybody else in baseball history and in any other sport in college. It's 40 for 40 going to the NCAA tournament. That's pretty amazing. But from LSU's standpoint, it's about a team that probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago probably didn't think it was going to be this position. And it's kind of got it going a little bit and then kind of caught fire. And then it just as people got healthy, you could see Paul Maneri able to come up with a pitching rotation that he liked, that was comfortable, that he felt the guys were going to be there, they were going to get hurt. And when the pitching rotation settled and they were able to get, you know, four or five good innings from the start, the bats settled, the bats relaxed and started hitting. And to me, it's about an LSU team that's playing up to its potential that everybody thought it would be in the preseason. That's kind of like a plot line to me, but probably not to the – it's not sexy enough for ESPN, you know. And this will be – I mean, you're right. This will be the Mike Martin farewell tour stop for ESPN, and they'll emphasize the hell out of it, which is understandable. Let me tell you, Florida State is playing inspired baseball, man. They put up double digits every game in Athens, which is pretty damn good. So it'll be a great series. But from an LSU standpoint, you know, they're just going to go out and play. They've had other Super Regionals here where you thought they were probably outmatched a little bit, and or other teams have some kind of emotional advantage, and the LSU's played well. All LSU knows is it's on its home field. It seems to play inspired on his home field. That's all that matters.
We're talking with Ron Higgins of TigerDetails.com here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Ron, let's go back to last week and before we preview the Super Regional with FSU. Absolutely knocked the tar off the ball against Stony Brook on Friday, just routed the poor Seawolves. Saturday was a bit of a pitcher's duel until the sixth, and then the game kind of exploded. And then once again, they had their hands full with a Southern Miss. I think that was the surprise, right, of the Baton Rouge Regional, was just how gutty, gritty, and good that Southern Miss baseball team was.
A surprise to people in Baton Rouge, but I kind of followed Southern Miss all year, and I knew they were good. I knew they could hit. I didn't know how much pitching they had, but I knew they could hit. And I knew that, you know, they were a good match for LSU. And they were. I mean, you know, in the first game between the teams, I mean, LSU got 4-0, and they tied up at the Grand Slam. I mean, that was a stunner. But LSU came right back and put up four and won the game. And the day was a back-and-forth affair. You know, the other day, they Southern Miss threw a pitcher the other day that basically had one start all year. And but the guy could, you know, throw forever. I mean, one of the Southern Miss beat guys was telling me that in junior college, the USM starter one time had probably thrown a game where he threw like 170 pitches. Like 170 pitches was like unheard of. But he said, no, he threw the guy 170 pitches. I mean, that thing, and the other day he threw 94. It didn't seem tired. And so I knew this. I knew there'd be a good matchup, but I also felt like I thought in the SEC tournament, LSU found a rhythm. you know, they're, you know, Vanderbilt was, LSU was just worn out by the time they got to Vanderbilt at the end, but to fight off, to come back with 17-inning loss and beat Auburn and then beat State the way they did, it kind of showed me that I thought they were kind of getting that postseason rhythm and feeling they've had in the past. And that's, I think it's kind of where they are. And we'll see what happens this weekend, but I think this team is kind of has gotten healthy and kind of picked itself up and is starting to feel, you know, like they got a real shot here.
Talking with Ron Higgins of TigerDetails.com here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Watching the regional up close and personal, Ron, and watching this team a handful of times in person, the bullpen is immensely talented, but also can be extremely frustrating. And I think Saturday was a perfect example of that, where Peterson comes in, he puts himself in a jam, he gets out of the jam, and then he hits a couple batters and loads the bases with no outs. Hess comes in, gives up the grand slam, but then turns around, strikes out the next two guys, and is pretty much lights out for the remainder. On Sunday, Fondo got in trouble, but then got himself out of trouble. This is just the identity of those three guys in the bullpen, right? They're going to put themselves in a bad spot, but they're also talented enough to get themselves out of it.
Yeah, that's basically it. In some games, they're just absolutely lights out. In other games, they're lights out, and they'll get two outs, and then they'll all of a sudden just kind of implode a little bit and kind of, it's almost they implode to the point where they have to challenge themselves to get out of a hole. Sometimes you just wonder what's going on out there. I mean, they'll get two outs real quick, and all of a sudden they'll have a walk and they get better, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, they're in trouble. And Alan Dennis will walk out there, Maneri has to walk out there and talk to him, and they get the last guy out. It is crazy, and they do make it suspenseful. But they do have some arms and back in the bullpen now. And the thing is about LSU is that they have kind of different from their past bullpens. They have a lot of guys in that bullpen who have started this year. And they're guys who you feel like can go 3 and 4 innings, and maybe even 5 because they've started. And they know how to, that they're used to throw a lot of pitches. Maneri preferably would like to have a guy throw 2 innings tops, so he can use them again. But they have a lot of guys who started who can extend a little bit. That's kind of different from basketball, as you said.
We're talking with Ron Higgins at TigerDetails.com here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Ron, let's talk a little bit about this matchup with Florida State. Their team, and I know that there's some comparables because LSU struggled there towards the end of the season where it looked like they may not even host a regional and may struggle. It may have to be on the road in one. I know Florida State was in a similar spot where they may not even look like they could get into a regional because they were actually the 3 seed there in Athens. But yet both of these teams got hot at the right time. Is this an evenly matched super regional, or do you think one team has an advantage over the other?
No, I think it's evenly matched. Both have kind of got momentum here late. Both are kind of inspired by different things. Florida said obviously by their coach retiring, and they're playing really hard. I think LSU's inspiration is like, kind of playing to its potential, wanting to play to its potential that they've been kind of missed all year because of injuries, kind of really never found the rhythm in finding that day-to-day confidence. And now you can see that all the way through the lineup, the back half of the lineup is hitting almost as well as the front part of the lineup. I mean, Saul Garza is been off the chain ridiculous. For about a month he's been hitting over 400. And the Brant Brewster has played really well, hit the ball really well. So I just think LSU's, I do think it's an even matchup. I really do. And the thing is, you don't look ahead, but if you look around the country, you know, at the other regionals, there's not really a team out there that you think is just like so far ahead of everybody else that they're the prohibitive favorite. They're just not. Everybody's got some flaws, okay? Everybody's got flaws. And there's not a team out there. I mean, even a couple of years ago, I mean, Oregon State seemed to be absolutely just like unbeatable. And LSU beat them twice. And LSU got killed by them. And LSU beat them twice to advance to the finals. So, I mean, but this year more than ever, when I looked around, who's left? There's not a team out there that you would think is a prohibitive favorite to win the national championship. I think this thing is extremely even going into the regionals. And what's astounding is this, I mean, it's amazing that they have five SEC Western Division members hosting Super Regionals. That alone tells you the strength of the SEC and the Western Division.
And one of those, Ron, and one of those Super Regionals is hosting another SEC West team.
Right. And this should send a message to all the people who were kind of killing Paul Mary all year saying, what's wrong with this team? Why can't they win the SEC? Well, they finished fifth in the SEC overall with a team that had a lot of pitching injuries and some position injuries. And wonder how strong the SEC is. It proves it right now with how many super regionals they're hosting, particularly Western Division teams.
Ron, we'll get you out of here with this. We're talking with Ron Higgins of TigerDetails.com here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. First two rounds of the Major League Baseball draft were last night. Josh Smith was the lone current Tiger that was drafted number 67th overall by the New York Yankees. He's likely gone, especially with that signing bonus. Three of the top four signees were also drafted for LSU. But the big one that didn't get drafted and then announced that he would be coming to LSU is the two sports star Maurice Hampton, football and baseball star. How big is that, that Maurice, who let people know, hey, he needed to be making so much money to forego coming to LSU. How big is that for LSU football and baseball to have Maurice Hampton coming?
That's great. I mean, it's always great to have a two sports star. It's great to have somebody who's athletically as talented as him. And you know, it's become rare in this league when you have a two sports star, especially in football and baseball, of course. Of course, there's been none better in SEC history than Bo Jackson doing that. But it's a huge get, for Ed Orgeron, a huge get for Paul Menary. He made two coaches very happy on one day. And it could be a case where the kid put out how much money he needed to make to go baseball, and maybe baseball looked at that and said, you know what, we don't like being dictated to.
They don't like that. We know that, Ron. They don't appreciate that.
We're not going to draft you. So it may be a little bit of a gamesmanship on his part that, you know, maybe deep down he really wanted to go to college and maybe that was his way of saying, yeah, I want to go to college. This is my price, and kind of knowing that maybe they couldn't meet that price, you know, and then, you know, maybe wants to go to college. And I think it'll benefit him to go to college, for at least three seasons. You know, now you're committed now to spending college for 3 years, which is a good deal. So, it's somebody else that hopefully they'll add to the LSU legacy. Guys who come in here and with high profiles and in middle of the height, you know, the Alex Bregmans of the world, who was a one sports star, but certainly a bit of a hype that he had coming in. So we'll see. I mean, it's exciting that you get a guy like that in your fold right away in the Major League draft. And good for Josh Smith. he deserved it. You know, came back with a back injury that sidelined him all last year and has had a tremendous year all year this year. Other night was dynamite, hopping on first pitches. And the first pitch of the game, now the park, you know, came back up again, first pitch, triple. He was tremendous, and he's one of the leaders of this team. It is like there's two, three guys on this team are absolute leaders, and he's one of them.
Ron, appreciate the insight as always, my friend. I'll see you out there at Alex Box on Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your week.
All right, take care. We'll see you.
Ron Higgins, TigerDetails.com, joining us there, breaking down LSU baseball from all angles. We got to hit a break. More RP3 and Company coming up next right here on 103.7 The Game. In Louisiana, there are thousands of miles of utility lines and gas pipelines buried just beneath the surface. Sometimes multiple lines are in one area. So if you are a contractor that you've hired is digging a hole to put in a new fence, a pool, or for another reason, you run the risk of hitting an underground line even by digging only a few inches. What happens then? Maybe you only knock the power out for your entire neighborhood, but sometimes there's an explosion with injuries and even death. It happens every year, and there's a very simple way to avoid it. Before you dig, call 811. Call 811 2 days before you dig. Tell the operator your address, and someone will come out and mark the location of buried lines so you or your contractor can avoid them. Simple, right? It's free of charge, and it's the law. Louisiana One Call operates 811 as a public service. And to promote public safety, Louisiana One Call and 103.7 The Game remind you, call 811 and know what's below before you dig. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game, broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. So, the historic Jeopardy run has come to an end.
What?
Yesterday, James Holzhauer, that is not correct. I'm just going to call him Jimmy. Jimmy Holes.
Jimmy High IQ.
There we go. He had 32 victories on Jeopardy, $2.5 million in winnings, set the single-day winnings record at $131,000. He owns all spots in the top 10 for single-day winnings, and is the second most career earnings in Jeopardy history. But the run came to an end yesterday. It's over. And you know why? Because it's Drake's fault.
Yeah.
Tongue-in-cheek, James tweeted out yesterday, knew I shouldn't have invited at Drake to the Jeopardy taping.
At least he's having fun.
He lost, the run comes in, and he throws shade at Drake. Bravo, sir. Take a bow. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, we'll be talking to our good friend Andrew Juge of the Saints Happy Hour podcast. Third week of OTAs is currently going on down there in Metairie. We'll get some insight from him, as always, right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1. You can also catch us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in HD. We are efforting our good friend Andrew Juge of the Saints Happy Hour podcast to be joining us. If we can get him on, great. If not, we'll just reschedule. Bring them on sometime either tomorrow or Thursday. But that doesn't mean just because we don't have Andrew Juge doesn't mean that we don't have things to talk about. Because we do. Once again, LSU baseball. Super regional times have been now set. Days and times. It's going to be a Saturday, Sunday, if necessary, Monday, three-game series. Winner heads to Omaha. First game will be Saturday at 2 p.m., 1:30 pregame show, 2 o'clock first pitch. You can listen to both live right here on 103.7 The Game. Sunday's game two there at Alex Box Stadium will be at 5 o'clock, 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock
first pitch, once again, right here on 103.7 The Game. And then, if necessary, Monday would be a night game at 7 o'clock there at Alex Box Stadium. Seminoles, Tigers. Also, Major League Baseball draft resumes later today. Rounds 3 through 10 begin at noon. Just to recap, LSU had one current player on the roster selected in the second round of the draft last night. With pick 67, the New York Yankees selected shortstop Josh Smith. He's projected to play second base in the Yankees farm system. Nearly $1 million signing bonus, more than likely Josh Smith, who Ron Higgins, our guest from Tiger Details, told us earlier this hour, bounced back from a back injury, had a terrific, sensational season. So good for him being a first-day draft pick. Guess I have an opportunity now to go to the big leagues. The Tigers also had three of their top four signees for the 2019-20 class were drafted as well in the first two rounds. Daniel Esposito, the right-handed pitcher who throws at 100 miles per hour, considered the best, hardest-throwing arm in this entire signing class and possibly entire draft. He was selected number 24 overall by the Cleveland Indians. That's a seven-figure signing bonus, so he'll be gone. He will not be coming to Baton Rouge, more than likely. I do not believe Rhys Hines, the infielder with monster power, that he's going to be able to have an opportunity to come to Baton Rouge either. He was selected 49 overall there in the second round. He has a significant signing bonus as well, so he will likely not come to Baton Rouge. But Jimmy Lewis was selected with pick 78, the 6'6" right-handed pitcher. He still has some development. I think LSU and the staff can persuade him not to go to the big leagues, put that on hold, and come to LSU next season. And, of course, the big news out of the draft for LSU was Maurice Hampton, the two-sport star, was even offered by reports from the Commercial Appeal $1.8 million signing bonus to be taken in the first round. He turned it down. He's coming to Baton Rouge to play both football and baseball. Huge get for the Tigers. Now we're going to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline to welcome on our next guest. He joins us every Tuesday. He's the man behind the Saints Happy Hour podcast, which you should go check out every week, download, purchase, however you need to do it. You need to make sure to go do it. It's our good friend, Andrew Juge. Andrew, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good, man. Sorry for the delay, but I heard you talking some baseball. Man, I always think it's so interesting with baseball how the draft happens right in the middle of the postseason. And it's so unique because when you look at college football being clearly done and the NFL draft clearly being in the off season, or the NBA, which is, you know, NBA draft, I mean, there's the lottery, which happens during the playoffs, and, you know, the draft will be soon. But, you know, I think it's one of those things where college basketball is clearly done. And I find it so odd that these athletes have to juggle the interest of their future while trying to remain focused on this goal of winning a championship. It's a fascinating challenge to me that I think is one of the toughest things to navigate if you're a coach.
Yeah, and it used to be even worse, Andrew, because it was happening while they were in Omaha for the College World Series. They actually moved
That's
it back
right.
now in between the regionals and the super regionals, thank God, because you were having kids – during a game, someone would come up and bring them a phone. And like, hey, come talk to the tunnel. Someone just drafted you. A huge train wreck and a distraction. But thankfully, they moved it. So now these kids can deal with this early in the week of the Super Regionals. So, yeah, it's definitely interesting, unlike any other of the major American sports in that way. Andrew, third week of OTAs is currently going on right now. Media availability will be later today instead of Thursday this week. And then mini camp will be coming up next week, the following week. What are you looking for? What kind of storylines are happening out there for the third and final week of OTAs?
Well, you know, I think one thing, and we keep talking about special teams, but I find the place that the Saints are at with special teams this year to be pretty significant. And I say that because, you know, when you look at Saquon Hampton, who was drafted, who I think will be a major contributor, you look at the off-season addition of Marcus Sherrills, who is a tremendous returner. And Sean Payton was asked about that this week, and you know, he basically said, yes, you know, I feel like we've finally gotten to a place. And as bad as special, I feel like for a long time, it was Thomas Morstead and everybody else. And Thomas Morstead was a great punter for the Saints and for a long time was a great kickoff man. But special teams is always a massive pain point, especially when Greg McMahon was kind of heading up the unit. But you look at all the changes to the coaching staff. You look at the investment this year. This offseason, in my opinion, was all about the investment in special teams. And, you know, when you look at the contract that Will Lutz got, and right now the kicker-punter combination that the Saints have is the best since Morton Anderson and Tommy Barnhart, and I would argue that it's potentially better than that combination with Lutz and Morstead. Sean Payton said that he was thrilled about the coverage units last year. I feel like when you look at guys like Chris Banjo and Justin Hardy, who are elite coverage guys, I'm not even sure, Raymond, that those guys are a given to make this team. When you talk about Saquon Hampton, some of the other guys that have been specifically brought in based on their prowess on special teams in college. And so I think it's going to be very hard to make this team as a special teams gunner. And you're going to have to really impress. And I think when you combine the investment, the attention to it, and the complete revamp of a coaching staff in that department, the Saints want to go. It's very clear to me that the Saints want to go into these games where they're going to outperform every team they face on special teams. And so, you know, they have a good offense, they have a good defense. And hopefully, you know, from week to week, they'll be able to win in those areas too. But I think one phase of the game where we'll walk away saying, yes, the Saints are better than anyone else is special teams. And Sean Payton made the comment, you know, the one area that we're really still short is in the return game. So they go out and they get really one of the best punt returners in the game. And if that works out and Sherrills gives them what they want, which is a better return game, then I think they are flawless in all areas.
We're talking with Andrew Juge here of the Saints Happy Hour podcast on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Andrew, you know, we've preached special teams a lot, and rightfully so. And like you said, the front office is dedicated, is hell-bent on making that the best unit in the entire NFL, it seems that way. So I love the I love the competition. I love even veteran guys being put on notice like, hey, it is open season. Everyone has to go out there. We need to put out the best product we can. Let's switch over from special teams. Let's talk about defense. Marcus Davenport, what's his development been like? I know it's slow. I know they're slowly bringing him along, even holding him out of certain drills and everything like that. Will he be ready to go full speed for actual training camp?
I certainly hope so. You know, all signs point to yes. You know, they're like you said, they're taking it slow with him. But I feel like there's not much insurance behind him. And I think if there's one disappointment personally in this offseason, it's really the lack of signing a player that can really provide depth at defensive end. Now they get the free agent from Carolina, but he's very much a role player. They get Mario Edwards, who's a guy that you know, can bounce outside. He's more of a defensive tackle, but in certain situations, maybe can play a little end. But there's a reality that the Saints lost Alex Okafor and did not replace him. And the Saints were interested in Ezekiel Ansah. Didn't work out with him. And so now I feel like the Saints are completely pod committed to Marcus Davenport not only being healthy, but playing at a really high level because he's going to get the lion's share of the snaps. Now, maybe Trey Hendrickson can develop a little bit, or they can find another defensive end on this roster that will surprise them. But ultimately, I think the margin for error is pretty small. And listen, when you give up two first-round picks on a player, you're already all in. So in some ways, it's not that surprising that they've decided, hey, we're going to put all our chips on Davenport and hope he works out. But at the end of the day, I feel like depth is a little thin at defensive end. And I think if you're a Saints fan and you're watching this closely, Davenport's a guy that needs to be on the field. So I'm anxious to see him not only playing, but playing well. And there's no doubt that the Saints are going to need him to play a significant role this year.
Talking with Andrew Juge of the Saints Happy Hour podcast here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Andrew, offensive side of the ball, anything kind of been standing out for you through these now 2.5 weeks almost of OTAs? Anything stand out?
Well, you know, I think obviously, first of all, without pads and without more hitting and just, you know, it's a completely different game, right, when you start to see these guys perform with pads and have live tackling. So especially in the trenches, when you talk about the offensive line, it's just really hard to see. But I think it's interesting that they've really been rotating guys on the offensive line. So Cam Tom has had some starting reps at center, then he was moved to right guard. Nick Easton has had some reps both at left and right guard. And Eric McCoy's already gotten some snaps with the ones at center. So I like that they're trying different combinations on the offensive line. That shows you that they're going to try different combinations and that they believe in the talent of a lot of these guys and that they're not exactly sure who fits where. So this will be an opportunity for all of them. And I think the Saints are open to the fact that they have maybe 6 or 7 pretty good offensive linemen. Maybe the starting 5 is set, but they want to get a good feel for who fits where. So, but I think right now when guys are in shorts, really what stands out is the one-on-one matchups with receivers and corners, because while you don't have pads, corners can still cover, receivers can still run routes. And of course, it's no surprise that Michael Thomas stands out and that he's doing very well. But reports are that Eli Apple has had some heated battles with him in camp so far, and that Eli Apple is a guy that's been standing out and playing at a high level. We know that Marshon Lattimore is a tremendous corner, and every year I feel like it's really the number 2 that matters almost more than Lattimore, because we know Lattimore is going to do his thing, but there needs to be someone on that other side that complements him so that the ball isn't being forced the other way every time. So for Eli Apple to be playing at a high level is going to be huge for the Saints this year, and it's encouraging to hear. And it sounds like Traquan Smith is kind of making a big leap in his second year, and it's night and day. So, you know, he's a receiver that I think the Saints are really going to need to develop and improve this year for the offense to have some success. Obviously, the addition of Jared Cook is something you like a lot, but I think for this passing game to thrive, they're going to need an element of surprise, a player who is going to get single coverage that can expose it. And I still think that that person can be Traquan Smith. So his development would be a really pleasant surprise.
Talking with Andrew Juge here of the Saints Happy Hour podcast on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Andrew, I'll wrap it up with this. OTAs are going to come to a close this week. Mini camp is really when it starts kind of gearing up, right? That's only a few days, but still it's the transition. It's the bridge from voluntary workouts, OTAs, to actual training camp. They'll do mini camp, and then they'll take some time off before reporting back for training camp. What are you wanting to see starting next week with mini camp? Is there anything that you really need to see tops on your list as someone who covers this team day in and day out?
No, you know, I think right now I don't want to see any injuries. So I want to see everyone healthy. And I would say I would put Marcus Davenport at the top of that list. So if you were to give me a wish list, I would say health is important right now. Beyond that, I think from a depth standpoint, you know, I would like to see a name pop up at defensive end when I talk about the lack of depth there. And I think there's a little bit of a lack of depth at linebacker. I mean, Craig Robertson is kind of your primary backup at all three positions right now. But I would love to just see a linebacker or, you know, even a receiver stand out, because right now I think those are two positions, along with defensive end, really three positions, where I feel like the lack of depth could catch up to the Saints if they have injuries. So I would just like to see names pop up, whether it's Granderson at defensive end, you know, whether it's one of these undrafted rookies at linebacker, whether it's Austin Carr at receiver, someone surprise us that just comes out and looks like they're having a tremendous camp or really popping eyes so far this early in the kind of beginning of training camp, just to kind of give some signs of hope that, hey, if an injury does happen here, the Saints do have some players that can step up and make plays.
Andrew, appreciate you taking some time out for us as always, brother. We'll talk to you next week for mini camp. You enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy the weekend, my friend.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Raymond.
That's Andrew Juge of the Saints Happy Hour podcast joining us here on RP3 and Company. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's tremendous show right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. Broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Simulcast on KXKW Channel 32.1. You can also check us out on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. I want to take a time out to thank all of our guests today. Tim Buckley from the Daily Advertiser, breaking down Raging Cajun's baseball season, where they stand on the draft. They're going to have some players drafted probably today with rounds 3 through 10 starting at noon. Names like Todd Lott, I would even expect Gunnar Leje. Someone's going to take a flyer on him, maybe even Hanson Monica. So see the Raging Cajuns. They'll have a few guys probably drafted today. I also want to thank Ron Higgins from TigerDetails.com for joining on, breaking down LSU baseball, Super Regional with Florida State. And then also our good friend Andrew Juge from the Saints Happy Hour podcast, talking a little OTAs with us concerning the Hoodats. Tomorrow, we have a tremendous show lined up for you as well, the Hump Day edition of RP3 and Company. The voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair, will be joining us. I'm pretty sure we'll have something to talk about. There's some type of baseball thing going on this week. We'll also talk to our old friend Connor O'Gara from Saturday Down South, plus much, much more. Cody, you did a tremendous job. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome, Raymond, but guess what? We ain't going anywhere.
Oh, we got another hour, cuz Chip Shots with Rob Spires comes up next, but not with Rob. Rob had to take a sick day, had a prior commitment, so I'm going to fill in. Me and Cody, we'll be talking golf with you for the next hour. So stay tuned, keep it live and local right here on 103.7 The Game.